You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We appreciate the support for New Day with Rhett Palmer from the family of Mosquito Joe. For information, find them on the internet at melbourne@mosquitojoe.com. Roach is gone, ants gone, spiders and hornets all gone.
Indian River Real Estate, LLC, is a hometown family company. Hi, I'm Josh Stahls. My wife, Mandy, and I have deep roots in this community and are blessed to be raising our two sons here. Growing up in Indian River County, I understand the changing market and love helping our clients find a place to call home. Mandy and I have the tools and experience to guide our clients to the closing table. Helping clients feel confident in the buying and selling process is what we do. We can be found at IndianRiverRealEstateLLC.com or on Facebook.
It's a new day, and I'm Rhett Palmer. I'm seated here with Jason Conklin. How you doing, Jason?
Good. How are you?
Now, you were in the military. You were in the Coast Guard for
10 years.
10 years, and where were you educated?
Everywhere. So, let's see. That's a loaded question. You mean as far as college goes? I got my bachelor's from Metro State University in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And what was that degree in?
Biosphere sustainability and human interoperability.
Okay, and so you left the military and started your own company called Argo. What does Argo do?
Argo Sciences is a research and development firm based focused on environmental development.
Okay, now what's this mission and missionary work that you do?
My wife and I served as missionaries in the past. We both I've been to Zimbabwe. Kate's been to Ukraine, and we've done Ukraine together as a husband-wife team. And we started Theos Kelly Group, which has two divisions. One's WhenGodCalls.org is the main brand name, and the purpose of that was to facilitate our mission work as we go to different places around the world doing church development, church planting, and then community development and transformation.
Okay, so who's under what auspices do you do that? Under the authority of a certain congregation or group, or just yourself?
A combination of each area of focus has a different church or organization that we work with. So E3 Partners is in charge of Zimbabwe. We went through Calvary Chapel to do the Ukraine. And then we also work in the academic side. We work with a gentleman, Kevin Bywater, at the University of Oxford, who handles all of the worldview courses that are available there that we work, and we kind of facilitate all of those things going, working together at different times.
Now, you know, I told you I went to Zimbabwe years ago. Zambia's there, and I did a concert in Zimbabwe. And I was telling you about Victoria Falls and the glory of it. Well, you showed me a photo yesterday. It's entirely dried up. It's just the Victoria Canyon now.
Yeah, disappointingly, there is a dry and wet season, so they can be somewhat exaggerated, but they've had a major drought. Wow. Over this last couple of years. It's actually the growing season's much limited, and they've also had power rations where they only get 3 to 4 hours of power per day, and that's because they're hydroelectric off of the Zambezi River. So that's been a real hampering thing issue with them.
I was there over 30 years ago. When did you go?
Last time I was there was 2019. Most recently was the last trip we made.
Okay, Mugabe was no longer president then.
I think he had just
stepped down.
Just stepped down, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so what were you doing in Zimbabwe? I was there to put on a concert. I've been to Haiti and food drives, but what did you do in Zimbabwe?
So main focus is community transformation, and what that means is we basically go that we work with the local church, and it's actually just we're basically augmenting them and their goals. We don't want to impede on the culture of the indigenous people. We want to make sure that we're helping them reach people in that sense, and supporting what exactly they're trying to accomplish. And that means in community development is where you have these neighborhoods and everything. Then we try to plant local congregations, get a local place for them to meet, set up either whether it be a tent or even if some people will volunteer their home. In some cases, they have the resources to get a building, and where they can where the community can get together and meet. And then we try to raise awareness so that the communities are actually a little more bonded. So you have a much more stable social structure for people.
Stepping on the culture. You mentioned the culture. I was just thinking, yeah, for a long time, in the arrogance of many people, we'd come into a country, Christian missionaries, and step on the culture. How do you minister Jesus without stepping on the culture?
Well, respect of what, so their culture persuasions are not necessarily in conflict. We right. make sure we go in there preaching the gospel and not Western civilization. So I mean, we're not there to
not broad preaching Western civilization. Very well said. Yeah,
that's trying to make sure that we respect their styles of music, for example, their methods of worship. So the dancing that they like to do, very very rhythmic people, and then also being mindful of customs and cultures that would be somewhat perceived as possibly even pagan to us, or to those to some of the more Orthodox Christians. So that's a very important thing that we respect and don't impede on those things. So we're trying to make sure that they don't feel a threat. We're received as the love of Christ can be shown, and how you go about worshiping is indigenous to your own people.
Yes, some of my friends that have a lineage from Africa, black friends in America today, I don't know if you've gone to a black church. I know that you two spent some time up in the Carolinas. I remember finding myself in, it was either Darlington or Florence one time, and I was up on the stage performing when I suddenly realized I was the only blanc in the room. I was the only white guy. But I noticed one thing about, and I've asked my black friends, my quote-unquote African-American friends, what is this, the cultural difference? Because a friend of mine who is a lot smarter than me, black man or African-American, learned, very highly learned academic, a doctor, medical doctor. And, even when I went to his church with his wife, it's like they go on for hours and hours. And I tried them to explain, I guess it becomes an event. I don't know if it's from the history of being a slave. And then on Sundays, the longer you stayed, I guess, in the church service, the more time you had together to socialize, because during the week you weren't allowed that socialization. I don't know what's caused that. Yeah, but I noticed in Africa, too, they have pretty long services there. I mean, the girls would get up and sing with their tambourines, and they'd go on for, a good 45 minutes of one song.
That's yes, par for the course. I mean, there's no a structured, regimented service for like 1 hour on a Sunday. That's got a certain length of time and everything. That's Western civilization. That's purely a Western work ethic of thinking. So that's something that doesn't really apply. That's not where they came from. So to them, when they're going to worship on Sunday, first of all, they're happy to worship any day. They're happy to sing and dance and just after, before, during Bible study. And there is no, we're saying we're going to meet at a Bible study on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. It's customary to show up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock. That's fine, but it's also customary to expect to be there till midnight or 1 a.m. They're happy to do so. If the spirit is leading, they just go with it, and then just have a good time. It's really about if there's no regimented set period of time per se, other than the fact that you get tired, of course. But
I noticed one thing, like when I was in Haiti, that where they're very desperately poor. I mean, Zimbabwe was a prerequisite for going to Haiti for me. I was in a culture shock in Africa, in Zimbabwe, and I was scared to death. But when I went to Haiti and saw the way the people are living in Africa, that they're affluent compared to Haiti. Mm-hmm. But I noticed the faces running up to me in a field of the people that were poor, but they were so happy because they said, here comes a Christmas gift that I get to unwrap, another human being to get to know. Their joy and their wealth is in their fellow human beings, not in the acquisition of stuff, because there's no stuff to be gotten,
I was extremely moved by the, I noticed, you're correct, and even in Zimbabwe, they do have social media, they do have smartphones, they do have Facebook and all that, mm-hmm. but most of them really couldn't care less about it. It's nowhere near the level of
addiction,
time consumption that it is. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple reasons why I believe that is. Number one, they don't have unlimited data. You pay by the megabyte.
That's a good point. Yeah. They don't have unlimited data.
Well, that's whereas we're used to phones having some crazy amount of bandwidth. Yeah. So they're very careful of what they spend their time looking at because it costs money. And then number two, the quality of life is more built on community. So, I mean, it's in who they know and, what kind of time they spend together. And you've noticed very rarely does someone eat alone. And in fact, I never saw anybody eat alone. Even people that were, broken homes or families were incomplete, there was a community gathering. It was a customary to have a meal, no matter whether it be breakfast, lunch, or supper. The whole gaggle was there. One of the neighbors was over with their family. There was always some kind of community around.
It's a good excuse to get together. Let me ask you this. I want the short version, and then we can do the longer version. How did you, at what age did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I was in 1999, so that would have been, I was 22 years old.
22 years of age. Now, so you're pretty set in your ways by the time you're 22. What amazes me, but how did you come to know the Lord? What did you do? Were you a Catholic? Were you a Presbyterian? What were you growing up, or were you anything?
So I was raised Roman Catholic. I was, you know, went through my Blessed Sacraments, Holy Communion, Confirmation, all of the rules and rituals that we were culturally prone to do. So, and then I also went to Catholic school. So I was very well, you know, versed in the church and in the gospel. I had never heard the term relationship until I was in my early 20s. And the first time I heard it, I thought it was, you know, silly or ridiculous or preposterous. I thought, who the heck does that? You're smoking something or you're on something. I didn't understand what that meant. And what, sounded like a cult or something like that?
Yeah.
So how do you have a relationship with Jesus?
Yeah. That sounds... A real relationship? No. Well, we want the perfunctory duty of showing up in the pageantry, right?
Right. I mean, there was something to be said for that. I mean, I did enjoy a lot of things about church, but I realized part of the reason I got disenfranchised and frustrated was because I was going through motions and rituals and not actually having relationship.
Okay, so what caused you to call upon the name of Jesus and be what they say, born again?
My office manager at the time, I had my own business down in Virginia. I was in Portsmouth, Virginia, and I remember my office manager invited me to.
You want to hear the rest of the interview? Tune in from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Rhett Palmer. This is a new day, if you want it to be.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
The stars fill the heavens above, yeah. Before the universe was shaped by your hand, you had always been I am. Into eternity.